Hello. Ukraine's president says a temporary ceasefire announced by Moscow is now on hold because of violations by Russian forces. Fighting was meant to stop in Mariupol and Volnovakha to allow safe passage of civilians out of harm's way. Mariupol has been under siege for days and has come under constant shelling.
Humanitarian corridors must work today in Mariupol and Volnovakha to save people, women, children, the elderly, to give food and medicine to those who remain. We are doing everything on our part to make the agreement work. This is one of the main tasks for today. Let's see if we can go further in the negotiation process.
Let's take a closer look at the humanitarian corridor that had been set up. A route had been established from Mariupol, which is home to more than 400,000, to the city of Zaporizhia. It would have allowed civilians to drive along the corridor in their own cars or by taking a municipal bus. Charles Stratford has more.
We are south of the town of the city of Zaporizhia. The road behind me, we were expecting to see buses and carloads of people coming out from the area of Mariupol. The cars that you can see behind me now, many of them having the white signs on the window that we know that we've seen so often, saying that there are children on board. We understand that majority of these vehicles are not fleeing Mariupol, but we've spoken to people further down this road who have come out of villages in between Mariupol and here. One man said that the Russians were shelling areas of this road only 10 kilometres or so back. They were shelling the sides of the road, the nearby fields, and shrapnel had ripped off his tyre. His wheel was pretty much destroyed, and he had to drive as fast as he can to relative safety to a village before abandoning his car. Many of the villagers, as you can imagine, are absolutely terrified. They say that the situation has deteriorated dramatically since we understand that that ceasefire failed. We can't confirm whether the shelling that we've heard this morning was either incoming or outgoing, but obviously if there is this road or areas on this road that is being shelled, that would suggest indeed it is Russian shelling.
Earlier, Ukraine's president accused NATO of giving Russia the green light to further bombard and kill Ukrainians because it was refusing to establish a no-fly zone. Russia's foreign minister has hit back at Zelensky's speech, accusing him of wanting to provoke further conflict.
If Zelensky's so unhappy with NATO not interfering, then that means he's hoping to resolve this conflict by involving NATO. It means he's not hearing statements from European capitals saying they won't get involved. It means he wants to provoke a conflict between NATO and Russia. That's the mood he's in. This mood indicates that he doesn't need negotiations with us, but that may change because, of course, he's a moody person.
Natasha Butler is following developments in the western Ukrainian city of Lviv.
Russian foreign minister didn't have much good to say, of course, about the Ukrainian president or Ukrainian authorities. Ukrainian authorities, he said, were preventing that evacuation of citizens from Mariupol, this town on the Sea of Azov in the south of Ukraine. A ceasefire is supposed to be taking place there between Russian troops and Ukrainian forces, but that doesn't seem to be happening. But Lavrov is saying that that is the fault of the Ukrainian side, of Ukrainian troops who are not allowing that humanitarian corridor and ceasefire to take place. He also talked about Zelensky, Volodymyr Zelensky, the Ukrainian president, accusing him of trying to provoke NATO, possibly trying to provoke NATO into becoming part of this conflict. Zelensky, earlier he did call on NATO to try and impose a no-fly zone over the country. He says that would help stop Russian jets and planes from bombarding cities and towns across the country. NATO, though, has made it very clear that they do not intend to do that. Jens Stoltenberg, the head of NATO, saying that there won't be any way in which the alliance is going to send jets to shoot down or use any form of artillery to shoot down Russian planes over Ukrainian airspace, because that would basically draw the military alliance into this war, something that Western allies say they do not want to be part of.
Well, Ukraine's President Zelensky is set to speak virtually to the entire U.S. Senate shortly. Let's find out more and bring in Heidi Jo Castro joining us from Washington, D.C. So tell us more about this, Heidi.
Well, Doreen, before Congress right now is a pending aid package to Ukraine that totals some $10 billion. It's for military assistance, humanitarian, as well as economic. And it does have bipartisan support, and it could move as quickly as being signed into law next week. So today, the Zoom appearance by President Zelensky before the full Senate is the Ukrainian leader's chance to make a direct appeal about how that money can be best used to help his country. But what Zelensky is expected to ask for, of course, is what he says he most needs right now, the U.S. involvement in establishing a no-fly zone. And it is the one thing that the Biden administration has been consistent and clear in saying that Ukraine cannot have. The reasoning for that, again, just as we heard in the case with European allies, is that the U.S. does not want to escalate this into a direct armed conflict between U.S. forces that may potentially have to shoot down Russian planes to enforce a no-fly zone. And that is a red line from the White House. As far as Congress is concerned, there have been one or two voices, the vast minority, saying that the U.S. should think about doing a no-fly zone in Ukraine, but the vast majority of Congress has been opposed to that idea as well. And I'm sure President Zelensky this morning will be trying to change those minds.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see the impact that seeing Zelensky face-to-face might have on senators.
Yeah, it will not be lost on anyone here in Washington that these will be people in their suits and ties waking up on a peaceful, beautiful spring day in Washington, speaking with the embattled Ukrainian president, the first time that the full Senate will be seeing Zelensky face-to-face, albeit virtually since the beginning of the war. He'll be in his bunker in Kiev while Russian troops threaten to encircle his city. So that contrast surely will not be lost on anyone. Zelensky, a week ago, made a similar appearance before European leaders, and he was very effective when he told those leaders that that may be the last time they see him alive. And of course, that was a huge part in getting that severe sanctions package passed. So we'll have to see how effective he may be here in Washington. There is near universal praise for his courage, with some members of the U.S. Congress even comparing him to Winston Churchill. So cementing that moral support, I'm sure that is something that Zelensky seeks to do, he could accomplish. But as far as moving the needle to further action beyond that aid package, that is a challenge that we'll have to see whether he can deliver on.
All right. Thank you, Heidi. Thank you for that reporting from Washington, D.C.